Welcome to the December 5th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Stephen Henninger. Our theme for December is Open to Joy. We will begin our month of explaining how and why we might open to joy by considering what we mean by joy and its role in our lives.
I'm Stephen Henninger, your worship associate today, and I'm leading worship this morning with our Reverend Pam Phillips. If you're here with us for the first time, we're glad that you have found us. You'll find a link in the virtual visitor's card in the chat on Zoom or in a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like to stay in touch. If you have a joy or a sorrow card you wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat on Zoom or cards again in the back of the sanctuary, and we'll collect those during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and contact information. And lastly, thank you to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities possible.
Good morning. I also want to lift up a couple of announcements. This is the reverse Advent calendar. And so far, there have been 5 items added to our collective one here. Canned vegetable, canned fruit, spaghetti sauce, pasta noodles, and cereal. All good foods. So you can find this online, or if you'd like, I can make you a copy. But the idea is to add something every day, so that by Christmas, we'll have lots and lots of food to give to the Blacksburg Interfaith Food Pantry. And speaking of giving and service, Kimberly Homer, who is our connection to Our House, has let us know that we need one person per evening to go to Glade Church to help out as we host our guests there. And that starts this Tuesday through Friday the 17th. So Kimberly is right over there, or Kimberly Homer in your directory. Contact her if you have an evening when you can go to Glade Church and help host our guest to Our House. I also want to let you know, I also want to say in gratitude, thank you to my husband, Jamie, for helping put up our Christmas tree, and to the quarter lifers who are going to decorate it sometime this week. So if you consider yourself a quarter lifer, or you just like to trim Christmas trees, contact Ashley and she'll let you know when they're planning on doing it. And next week, it will be resplendent. Thursday at 6:30. And now I'd like to invite Sarah Catlett up. She is a member of our new Lifespan Faith Development team, and she will let us know what the children are doing today. Sarah.
Good morning. In the pre-K class today, they will be reading the Gruffalo and various Hanukkah books and making a Menorahsaurus Rex. In the K2 class, they'll be reading the Christmas Menorahs, How a Town Fought Hate, and making winter bracelets and holiday cards. The 3-5 class will be reading the Trees of the Dancing Goats and making winter bracelets and holiday cards as well. And the middle school class will be playing community and team building games today. Thank you.
It's nice to have RE announcements in person again. Karen couldn't do it because she was all alone. I want to lift up one more announcement. People at home, I don't think you're going to be able to do this, but anyone who's in the sanctuary, if you haven't signed the solar panel that's going back up on the roof, it will be like a time capsule. And is Patrick in here? Patrick, stand up and receive our gratitude for putting up those panels. This is a long time coming, and people have been working hard to make sure that we can go greener, and Patrick and Baseline Solar made it possible. And hopefully ours is the first of many congregations in the New River Valley going solar. All right, so now is that time, that exciting time when we get to greet one another. So I'll invite us to look over on the screens as the folks at home enter into this space. And there they are. Folks at home, wave, you are on camera. And there's more folks. Now, folks in the sanctuary, place. There we go. Dun da da da. There's Jared. Patrick, there he is. You can clap for him at home. How many of you have flashbacks to when you were a kid and you were walking by the department store and they had a TV on and there was a camera and you got to see yourself? Can you see back there in the cuddle room? There are the catlets. We got a lot of little wavers back there. Woohoo! And here we are, together again in virtual and physical space. Well done.
Let us create sacred space by lighting the chalice, the symbol of our free faith. Please join in reading the words on the screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. And our opening words this morning are by Carl Seberg, which I read as Sandberg when Pam sent them to me. So, let there be joy in our coming together this morning. Let there be truth heard in the words we speak and the songs that we sing. Let there be help and healing for our disharmony and despair. Let there be silence for the voice within us and beyond us. Let there be joy in coming together.
Please join in reading our covenant, or part of it. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love, while we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Our time for all ages this morning is the Hindu creation story as told by Rev. Gretchen Haley. When humans had begun to thrive in the world, the gods became concerned that they had perhaps made these creatures a bit too resilient. The humans were creating language, building villages, hunting and gathering for their food. They were not once had. So the gods gathered to contemplate this problem and debated where to hide the secret to life. One minor god argued for the deepest abyss in the ocean, another for the highest peak on the highest snow-covered mountain. A more experienced god said, "No, they will find that. Hide it on the far side of the moon." The supreme god listened to all of this advice, recognizing that the gods were becoming afraid of intelligence, of human intelligence, and drive. "No," he said, "I will hide it where these resourceful creatures will never look." "Where?" clamored the lesser gods. "I will hide the secret to human happiness within the human heart. It is the last place they will ever look." And all of the gods nodded, and it was so, and it is so. And now, let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting an offering. Is a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or a UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the Church of the Larger Fellowship, an online UU ministry that serves the world in support of their work to spread holiday cheer to incarcerated UUs during this holiday season. Those who are experiencing incarceration are often particularly vulnerable to isolation and to loneliness. If you would like to send a holiday message of hope and support to a UU who is incarcerated, contact Rev. Pam, who will share the instructions to sign up. You may give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on our screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. For those of you in the sanctuary and would like to give a cash or a check, there's a basket at the bank in the back of the sanctuary. Thank you to everyone for your generosity. All right. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Let us enter into a time of quiet and reflection. Take a breath. Soften your shoulders. Soften your gaze. Take a moment to just be. In this moment, thoughts of the week past may flit through our minds. Times of difficulty or challenge, when we were called to exercise patience or call on courage. Times of sadness or loss that made our hearts heavy. Hold these times gently. We have lived through them, and we are all here now. Call to mind too memories that make us smile. Times of quiet contentment, when our hearts felt at ease. Times of satisfaction, when we were able to do what needed to be done. Times of joy, when our hearts were lifted with awe. Perhaps it was a beautiful sunrise or sunset, a flash of natural beauty, a chance encounter with someone we love, the delight in the face of a child discovering something new. Hold these times with gratitude. We carry them with us, and we are here now. We ask for strength and grace to meet the challenges of our lives. We ask for openness to receive the gifts of our lives. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.
Today's reading is the poem Mindful by Mary Oliver. Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. O good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the worlds, the ocean shine, the prayers that are made out of grass.
It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Mary Oliver's poetry is such a joy to hear and read. It was what I was born for. A few more Unitarian Universalists might say the same. This month, we are exploring what it means to open to joy. Those of you in small groups may have already read Oliver's poem because it's in the packet of resources you'll use to prepare for your monthly meeting. And we chose it on purpose for today because it is a wonderful introduction to the spiritual exercise from the packet we'd like to share with the whole congregation. An exercise called joy spotting, not to be confused with train spotting. Joy spotting is a practice invented by Ingrid Fettel Lee, who encourages us to simply look around and keep an eye out for something that brings you joy. She explains, while it started out as something serendipitous, it became like a mindfulness practice for me, a recognition that no matter where we are, we can tune our attention to something joyful and use that to buoy our spirits. Instead of seeing the world around us as a distraction, joy spotting reminds us that it can be a reservoir of positivity, one we can turn to at any time. She explains how joy spotting works, citing what positivity researchers call upward spirals. It turns out the emotions have feedback loops. When we feel a burst of joy, it makes us more attentive to joy in our surroundings and more likely to engage in behaviors that help us find more joy, such as interacting with other people or doing an activity we love. Now, the folks from Soul Matters suggest that we formalize the practice of joy spotting by capturing at least one image of joy every day for a week, either by taking photographs or recording detailed descriptions in a journal. Your goal is to capture a handful or two of the things that Oliver says kills you with delight. When the week is over, take some time to reflect on the images you've captured. Is there a common thread? What do the images say about your experience of delight? Now, the joy Ingrid Fettel Lee describes spotting includes an elderly woman with a shock of magenta hair. I saw a woman once who had, she looked like a bird. It was like purple and teal, and it was lovely. A cluster of balloons tied to a fire escape, bubbles floating over subway tracks, even orange traffic cones, and a man wearing polka-dotted socks. I remember someone here remarking on somebody's festive socks one Sunday morning. But I can also imagine seeing acts of kindness, of courage, of determination as worthy of joy spotting. Look around you now, really, here in the sanctuary. Look around at home. Can you spot some small source of joy? Frank, what kind of socks you got on today? Yep. What might it do for your spirit if you took the time to spot some joy every day in the coming week, to take a photo or write a description, to reflect at the end of the week on your experiences. Now, opening to joy seems like an appropriate theme to explore in the month of December, particularly for those who celebrate one of the many winter holidays, Hanukkah, Bodhi Day, winter solstice or Yule, Christmas, Kwanzaa. But I like the idea of experiencing joy not just on holidays and holy days, but every day and ordinary days. Mary Oliver speaks to this directly. She writes, "Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab and daily presentations." Especially during the holiday season in our culture, I like the idea of looking to the common and even drab instead of the exceptional and extravagant. Yesterday we had breakfast at Lefty's, and when we left, we noticed birds clinging to the brick wall. And one of them flew into, a grate from a fan or something. It was fascinating. They were drab birds. They were. But it was cool to see them, to notice them. And after nearly two years of pandemic and the string of losses we have suffered, I love the idea of building reservoirs of positivity through everyday living. The spiritual exercise of joy spotting seems to rely on external circumstances, finding sources of joy in our environment. But much of what I've read about joy, and I have dipped into the book about that Tutu and the Dalai Lama wrote together, but much of what I've read about joy makes a distinction between it and happiness by saying that happiness is based on externals, while joy comes from within. Compassion.com explores the difference with this list of attributes. See if they resonate. Joy is in the heart. Happiness is on the face. Joy is of the soul. Happiness is of the moment. Joy transcends. Happiness reacts. Joy runs deep and overflows, while happiness hugs hello. Joy is a practice and a behavior. It's deliberate and intentional. Happiness comes and goes blithely along its way. Here's my favorite. Joy is profound and scriptural, with a capital S. Don't worry, rejoice. Happiness is a balm. Don't worry, be happy. I don't know if the distinction makes all that much difference. Somebody's going to tell you the opposite is true. But you get the idea. The Christian understandings of joy have to do with the relationship with God. Christianity.com tells us. Happiness is merely external, fleeting, and is only achievable on earth. Joy, on the other hand, is internal, selfless, sacrificial, and a spiritual connection to God. Now, some of us might find that language challenging, but I think they have something there. The word joy, the experience of joy, is more important, more lasting, more transcendent than happiness, at least in the way I'm thinking of it. Joy connects us to others and to something greater than ourselves. Think about the metta loving kindness meditation we sometimes sing. May you be safe. May you be well. May you know joy. May you be free. Indeed, the Buddhist concept of mudita, a word from Sanskrit and Pali that means sympathetic or unselfish joy, or joy in the good fortune of others, is considered one of the four Brahma Viharas, the highest qualities of the heart, along with loving kindness, compassion, and equanimity. Christiane Wolfe writes in The Lion's Roar, acknowledging that sympathetic joy can be the most difficult to achieve of those four highest qualities of the heart. Sometimes it's hard to feel good for the good fortune of others. You feel like there's only so much success and joy and happiness in the world. And if someone else has it, that means I don't. That's part of our culture, isn't it? But we can cultivate that kind of joy, sympathetic joy. And she says we can set the intention to be more open to joy and to cultivate it through repeated and patient practice. She invites us first to rejoice in our own good qualities. Think about it when we do a metta meditation. We say, may I be safe, may I be well, may I know joy, may I be free. But also think about what you can rejoice about in yourselves, your strengths, what you bring to the world, the small acts of kindness that you have performed. Rejoice in your strengths, your good qualities. And then rejoice in your life, the blessings of your life, the people you know, the work you do. And then it will be easier to rejoice in the happiness of others. I got to do that Friday night when Noemi came up to me at Tuba Christmas. And I noticed that she had lost her first tooth, and I thought that's what she was proud of. But no, she said, Rev Pam, I got my shot. And she showed me her sparkly Band-Aid. That was easy to feel joyful about. I invite you to think of the moments of joy you've had in your life. How did they fit into these considerations of joy and happiness? Of the different religious conceptions of joy. Were they based in your heart, in your soul? Did they feel transcendent? Did they connect you to other people or something greater than yourself? Were they profound? Did they run deep but overflow? I remember one of my favorite moments of great joy from many years ago. My beloved grandmother was lying in her nursing home bed. Her hands were stiff, curved stiffly by arthritis, and she couldn't speak, but her eyes were full of expression. I don't know if you've seen someone in a nursing home, they seem kind of scary, I think, but not to my niece, Sophia. She was about 3 years old, and she clambered up onto the bed, and she caressed her cheek. Two of the people I love most in the world, connecting. What joy. If the positivity researchers are right about upward spirals, then opening ourselves up to joy with intention, practicing by rejoicing in our own good qualities, in our lives, and in the joy of others, that can help us to find joy in even more challenging times of our lives. I think it helps us to joy spot. It's not what's out there that's bringing us joy. It's what's in here that's connecting. We'll explore joy in times of sorrow more next week. We can prepare by joy spotting in the week ahead. It's strange listening to. All right, people. Joy spot in the week ahead. That's your homework. If you're on the Facebook group, if you take photos of joy, put them on the Facebook page. And I'm going to point to Ashley again. We have, what's that? Is it really a hawk? Victoria just saw a hawk in the tree. So she's started on her joy spotting already. We have an Instagram account. Yes. So if you want to take photographs and send them to Ashley Spinks-Dugan, she can put our joy spotting on our Instagram page too. This is not an easy time. Let's build our reservoirs of positivity. And joy is always greater when we share it. So in the week ahead, do that. And we'll extinguish the chalice, but not the warmth of this community. We'll take that in our hearts until we are together again.